Hey, True North, welcome to another episode of Sermon Postscript, where we kind of discuss and dissect our last Sunday sermon. I'm Eugene. I'm here with Jay. Jay just preached out of Mark 8, and thanks for preaching. It's called Shocking Announcement. And Jay, I think the gist of the sermon was oftentimes we make Jesus our own version of our Messiah, our Savior. And I think the first thing I wanted to ask you was, you know, for the disciples' time, and I think you touched on it, they wanted to make him maybe a military savior, maybe someone that was forceful, but obviously it wasn't. I think for us, like, it's different, but I guess for today, like, what are some incorrect views of Jesus you think we have in our time, especially in True North?
Yeah, well, when I think about kind of the two main ways that we have misaligned God's will with our will, or our will with God's will, I see one... followers of Christ make Jesus the Messiah of their own personal lives. So they really think that following Jesus means that he's going to order your life in such a way where you achieve the American dream.
Yeah.
You know, so the like, oh, once I start following Jesus, then my career is going to be on track. My love life is going to be on track. My children will start behaving and our finances will be in order. So there's kind of like this very... inward focused, me-centered view of what Jesus is supposed to be, the Messiah for your comfort. Mm-hmm. And then I look at also the Western American cultural Christianity view of the Messiah, meaning we have this understanding that Jesus as the Messiah means that there will be no hindrances and no roadblocks placed in front of the church as an institution. So when we see policies that quote unquote we think as persecution towards the church, or when we see the culture moving away from what we view as biblical morality, then we think that Jesus is supposed to come in and restructure all that so that you know the government is more aligned with Christian moral ethics than it really should be than it was going to be. So we have kind of like a very personal view of Jesus ordering our lives in such a way where we receive all the comfort and blessings, and Jesus as the Messiah in a government or political sort of way that kind of makes the church the pinnacle of society.
Yeah. You know, I think that first point is really pertinent at True North, that it's like, and I just taught a membership class and we were talking about this, that Jesus is so often like your God, and the gospel is about like you and about like how it can help your job or like be a better parent, which are all true. And I don't know about you, but I feel like a good litmus test is like to fight that is, how's your community life? Like how involved you are in church per se. Like, you know, for a lot of us, I think we make Jesus just like church is about me and Jesus and how can church help me improve that relationship. And at least for me, I've seen the healthiest relationships with God from those who are really plugged into community, like community groups, that might be one point, or just being kind of like a person that sticks around after service. And this is like, hopefully will happen soon. Yeah. I'm just, you know, kind of talking with people and not just coming and going with a sermon here and there.
Yeah. You hit the nail on the head, you know, when we think about, church and, you know, people making church and religion, like it's their own little, pill, you know, mm-hmm. to try to make their lives feel good or lives better. But oftentimes, like you said, the real litmus test is how actually involved in community are you? You know, because being involved in community, especially church community, it could be an uncomfortable task.
Yeah.
You know, like you're allowed to choose your own friends. You know, you're allowed to choose who you want to associate with, who you don't want to associate with. But church, we're the family of God. And just like a real family, you don't get to choose your family. You know, like that annoying uncle or that creepy uncle, like he's your uncle no matter what, you know.
Yeah.
And you might be at a church where there's going to be, quote unquote, the creepy uncles, you know, or the nosy uncles, you know, or the over obsessive aunts. You know what I mean? There's and are you willing to stay within that community to build deeper relationships? Even though it's uncomfortable and maybe not ideal in your mind, what a community should look like.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's totally true. And kind of pivoting to the next question too. You know, when Jesus rebukes Peter, oftentimes I think it's the reason why we have this version of Jesus is because we want Jesus to give us the good life more than just having Jesus, right? And I guess for you, like, how does our desire for comfort and a good life, how is it combating the mission of Jesus as the Messiah?
Yeah, well, you know, because I think Jesus's mission as the Messiah, it translates to the disciples in a way where obviously we're not here to die for the salvation of other people. Mm-hmm. Jesus is the Messiah. He's the one who suffers and was crucified in our place. But our mission then is to go therefore and make disciples of all nations, right? And the calling that Christ has for his disciples is, you know, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me.
Yep.
And by doing that, you're being a witness to what Jesus has done and what he has come to accomplish as the Messiah. But oftentimes we accept the salvation from Jesus, but we reject the mission that Jesus has for his disciples. You know, yeah. So we kind of want our cake and want to eat it too. You know, yeah. we want the salvation given to us by the suffering Messiah, but we don't want to suffer. We want to have a good life, an easy life. And if people come to Jesus by some weird osmosis of relationship with us, then so be it, you know. But for yeah. God forbid if he calls us to make any sort of sacrifice or any sort of pivot from the American dream that we have been so wired to search after and seek after.
Yeah. No, yeah. I think even, like, adding on to that, you know, we kind of downplay also what suffering can do for us. I don't, you know, we've talked about this before. No one should chase suffering. I think there's also that gospel of suffering that the more you suffer, the more righteous you are, which is incorrect.
Yeah.
But I think in a Western view, we haven't allowed ourselves to be like fully present in suffering so that we can grow. Like, I think even, you know, one thing I always think about is like, how do you follow Jesus? Well, to be in Jesus' shoes is to suffer. And I think that's only when you can fully embrace who Jesus is, because you need him finally. So I think for the Westerners, like, we don't allow suffering to actually mold us and shape us and grow us, as hard as it may be, right? And kind of tying into the next question too, like, okay, so not that we're called to chase suffering, but we do suffer. What does carrying the cross then look like in our lives, right? I think that's, some people might cringe at that because it was overused at times. It was like cliche, but I do think that's biblical that we're called to carry our own cross. And I think if you watch Minari, like, there's a guy that takes that.
Yeah, literally.
Right, right. And yeah. I don't think that's what Jesus is calling us to do.
Yeah.
But for you, like, today, for True North, like, what would that look like for our members?
Yeah, you know, and I'm going to try to answer this question as brief as possible, but I think it does requires a little bit of deconstruction of our culture, especially mm-hmm. here in the Bay Area. We are living in an area where the companies that you work for are trying to create algorithms and programs and apps for efficiency and no discomfort. You know what I mean? Like, so whether it's food delivery apps or whether it's, you know, company to company apps and programs and products, you're trying to make everything as efficient and as smooth as possible. Yeah. But what Jesus calls us to in discipleship, when he says, you know, carry your cross and follow me, he's not talking about the most efficient or easiest form of discipleship.
Yeah.
You know, I think oftentimes we view discipleship and sanctification and growth in our faith as a linear line, that it's just going to be a slow, gradual uphill. But in reality, if you've been a Christian long enough, you know how up and down our faith can be, right? And it's sometimes those valleys that we are so afraid of, but it's in those valleys and in the pain and the suffering that God really exposes our idols, really provides us with evidence of his presence, and really molds us and refines us from the sins that we cling onto. So when it says, you know, carry your cross, you know, like you mentioned, we're not saying seek suffering, you know, like the more you suffer, the better you are. You know, it's in the regular rhythms of life. How do you respond when things, quote unquote, don't go according to plan?
Yeah.
And are you willing to trust God through that? Are you willing to, you know, power through that? You know, and I think one of the greatest examples or greatest ways that you can place yourself in those situations is being a part of community and church. you know, mm-hmm. because church community is never perfect, you know?
It's, it's carrying your own cross.
Yeah, yeah. It really is kind of like carrying your own cross that, yeah, some of the community group members that you might be in, you might not gel with, you know, or mm-hmm. or some of the discomforts of like, hey, my life stage is underrepresented here, or my life stage is ignored here. You know, there's a lot of different things that we can look at and find like, yeah, it's not completely ideal, but are you willing to struggle through it? Because that is the calling that God has for us.
Yeah, I like that a lot. And I don't know if it's semi-related. It's not really related to the text, but you know, one thought that I had when you're talking is, I think an element of carrying the cross is also being public with what we're talking about. Like my thought is when Jesus is walking with the cross to Gethsemane or to Calvary, right? Everyone sees that and they mock him and whatever it may be. And I think there's a part of that too that, you know, we talked about community groups. Like, I think part of carrying a cross isn't just being present in your suffering, living now, but sharing it and making it public and letting people know. I think we hide that so much, you know, whether it be shame or pride. I think I talked about that last week, but I think a part of it is to do that communally and see like, okay, how can we relate in our suffering together? It's not just something like, hey, just suffer on your own and figure it out. I think it's how do you suffer together well is a bigger question.
That's true. You know, and I don't know who said this. I forget where I read this, but oftentimes we hide our guilt and shame, right? But, you know, guilt is feeling bad about what we've done, and shame is feeling bad about who we are. And oftentimes, instead of being open and vulnerable about it, we hide it, you know. But part of carrying the cross, like you said, is being able to publicly, in the midst of community, kind of sharing that burden with people, right?
But we're
unwilling to do that because we have such a desire to save face.
Totally. Yeah. And that's one thing Jesus doesn't have time for at all, I realize, the more I read about him. Like, he doesn't care at all about that. He just lives his life and is... It's just real. He's just 100% him, which I appreciate the more I read. But last question is this. I think you touched on it at the end, but what are the agendas that we have? You know, I think we all, even the name of our church, True North, our heart is a compass, and they're all pointed in some ways, right? What are the agendas that we have that are more aligned with this world rather than with God that you see at True North commonly, maybe during this past year?
Yeah. You know, I think kind of like in a very high level view, we as human beings, whether you are a Christian or not, the main thing that we struggle with is we want to be our own God. You know, we want absolute control and dictate the terms of our lives and you know, dictate where we're going to go, when we're going to go. And when that happens, there really is no room for God, you know. Mm-hmm. Or if you are a believer, you carve out a little niche for God, you know, like this is the area that you can participate in, you can have control over, or I'm going to give you one day a week, you know, for 1 hour, or, and then Wednesday nights during our community group. But other than that, we kind of live our lives as if we are our own Messiah. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where, and it just, it depends on your life stage too, and what you're thinking about. But oftentimes, we want to take control of our finances. We want to take control of our relationships, of our families, of our children. And we just want God to be the cheerleader and be the you know, benefactor when we need him, you know, and not the conquering king who has come to take control over over every fiber of our being.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. I think, you know, I was reading the text again. And one thing that stands out is when he says at the end, Jesus to Peter, like to this crowd, for whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospels will save it.
Yeah.
And you touched on it too. I think we live so accordingly to that first line, mm-hmm. that we think we can save our life.
Yeah.
And that's why we want to play Messiah, because as long as our plans come true, then we'll be saved. Mm-hmm. But Jesus is so true that the more you try and do that, when you really take a hard look at your life, the more you lose it. And I think it's learning how to lose our life, which I am still learning. That sounds very Christianese. And we can make that very churchy and like fake. But I think there's something deeper to that. Like, how do you lose your life well? Which I think I'm still, you know, thinking about, which we talked about bearing a cross, but I think that's so contrary to what you expect in Hollywood and your workplace, and that's just fighting your own instincts of doing that. Like, how do you lose your life well?
Yeah.
And what does it look like practically?
Yeah. And that's the part where I think oftentimes it's so easy for us to be cliche about it, but it doesn't really touch down to the asphalt, the ground, yeah, of our daily lives, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I mean, if we, you know, one of the best secular songs that is very Christ-centered is "Jesus Take the Wheel." You know what I mean? Like, that, I mean, that's the very thesis of what Jesus is saying here in this chapter, and yet we don't really know exactly what that looks like. And like you mentioned, you know, I also don't know every minute detail of what that looks like in my life. You know, but it's, I think it's, again, comes back to, are we willing to, together as a community, learn how to do that and share our experiences, you know, and I think that's what is so important for us to have different life stages in our churches and in our comm groups, where there will be older members who are maybe empty nesters, who can talk about, like, yeah, these are the things that I try to control so much with my children, but in the end, like, you know, God was the one ultimately in control, you know. Yep. Or even people who are maybe further up on the career path, saying, like, hey, this is what I lived for earlier, but I knew that it didn't matter in the end, you know. And just from my own personal experiences being a church planter, when we first moved up here, you know, 5-6 years ago, I reached out to other church planters, people who are further down the line of church planting, and who was kind of like sitting on the comfort of their previous success. And they would tell me, hey, you just gotta, like, let go of the control and let God, you know. And it's like, yeah, it's easy for you to say, you know, but I think that's where it's every day meditating, praying, and reading God's word, and trying to figure out, well, what is it that I need to let go of control today?
Yeah.
You know, and then the next day, what is it that I need to let go of control today?
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's a helpful discipline.
Yeah, I really like that. I think ultimately it's like, what you're called to lose is your pride, and you'll finally find your life in the wisdom of others and ultimately Jesus, which, yeah, I think that's so true. So,
yeah.
Well, yeah, thanks, Jay, for the time, and we hope you're blessed this Sunday from this message and also our postscript, and yeah, we hope to see you next week.
All right. Hey, thanks, Eugene. I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.